Hey, Rob. Hey, has anyone ever had a Sunday drive? Yeah, I remember growing up being on Sunday drives, not driving, but man, we don't seem to have a Sunday drive on our way here coming from the farthest reaches of the big city, Anchorage. But actually, I think it's on Sheridish days is the only day that we get to have a Sunday drive because we're leaving church full, and I'm just like, doo-doo-doo. But the other Sundays, it's like, oh, man, I'm hungry, gotta get home. Or on the way here, it's like, ah, we're late. So, yeah. But now that I'm here, it's good to be here. Looking forward to worshiping with you guys. Let's worship.
Quickly, you will always be enough. of my enemy. We're going to start that one over, you guys. How does that sound?
It happens.
Hit it, Matt.
Authenticity. We got to own our mistakes, right? That was my bad, folks. That sounds a lot better.
Yeah. God gave me before we do offering over here. I just felt like he wanted me to share this. So he gave it to me on like Tuesday when I was praying about the service today and what he wanted to do and what he wanted to bring to this house through worship. And he gave me this, and it's Psalms 24, 7 through 10, and it is, so wake up, you living gates, lift your heads, you ageless doors of destiny, welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. You ask, who is this King of Glory? The Lord, armed and ready for battle, the mighty one, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gates, and rejoice. Fling wide your ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle. The mighty one, the invincible commander of heaven's hosts. Yes, he is the King of Glory. Hey, we say yes, God. We say yes, God. Come in, come in. Oh. We open the doors of our
We're going to continue to worship with our tithes and offerings. We were just singing, this is how I fight my battles. And look at all these kids up here. This is how battles used to be fought. In our guidebook to life, the Bible, this is how some of their battles were fought. Steve would have been a general in those battles, waging war with that horn, because God was fighting the battle. So they didn't need swords. They could worship with a flag. They could worship with a horn and say, God is fighting this battle for me. We're going to take our tithes and offerings. We have these buckets up here, and there's boxes on the back walls. You can give at akbridgeofhope.com. I had a, I guess I kind of figured something out about kind of about tithe this week. I was reading a book, and I've grown up in the church, I guess you could say, but this, maybe everyone else is like, yeah, Phil, we already knew that, but I didn't know this, that one of the first stories after man chose to step away from their connection with God, when Adam and Eve in the garden, one of the first stories after that separation that man chose is a story about man coming back to God through Cain and Abel. Abel brings his first fruits to God with the right heart. And it was before the law. It was before anything was said about a tithe or about this is what should be done. He was trying to come closer to God and offering the first of what he had to God. Sadly, in that story, Cain, his heart wasn't right. He wasn't trying to get close to God. His motive wasn't relationship. And there was a sad result because of that. But thinking about that, coming close to God in relationship and not thinking about the law of tithes and offerings. May and I were talking last night, and I was encouraged by her that we make some declarations over our tithe today, that it'd be more of an encouragement and more of a moving closer to God relationship than about the law. So, Ben, if you got those slides, we're gonna make some declarations together. We're just gonna read them together, and just to build up our faith about our giving. So let's just read these together.
God is the unfailing, unlimited source of my supply. The blessings of the Lord overtake me. I honor the Lord with my substance and the first fruits of my increase, and he rebukes the devourer for my sake. And no weapon that is formed against my finances will prosper. My God overwhelms me with every form of grace. I have more than enough of everything, in every moment and in every way. The Lord shall open to me his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain of my land in its season, to bless all the work of my hands. And I shall lend to many nations, but I shall not borrow. God makes me the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, as I obediently listen and keep his commands.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So I'm just going to pray over our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a God that partners with us. We thank you that you give seed to the sower and bread for eating. We thank you, Father, and we ask that you would bless this seed that we give and that you would bless this house. Thank you, Father.
God's extending an invitation this morning. He's extending an invitation to take another step closer. He's already there. His heart is already full in, 100%. Longing and desiring for us. And today he's saying, will you come? Will you allow your heart to beat with my heart? Will you allow your ears to only hear my voice?
Won't rely until you have it all.
then, can we do communion?
This is how I fight my battles. So most battles are not easy. There's usually somebody shooting at you or wanting to shoot at you. And that is a seed for fear. But how many of these kids up here were dancing in fear? So I got to fly to America this past week, and there are a lot of people that are traveling in fear, and they're wearing cool little things on their face that are about worthless because they're a handkerchief or a dust mask and they're only covering their mouth and not their nose or whatever. And I watched a couple walk out down at the baggage claim on their way out and step out in that beautiful Alaska air and pull their mask down and go, and then light a cigarette. And I thought, what exactly are you afraid of? Something that you don't know is around, that you aren't sure is even there, and you don't know if you're going to catch it, or something that you know will kill you. I think we missed something. But I wanted to continue on a little where I've been going in Romans 8. We know that he's working all things together for our good. What about those times when we don't know? Well, then we start to doubt, right? I want to submit that fear is not an emotion any more than love is an emotion. Don't throw a rock at me just yet. Affection is the emotion. Doubt is the emotion, but love and fear are words of action. Something happens, something changes. 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You remember the story of the parable of the talents to Jesus told. And the dude that he gave one talent to, when he came back, he said, I knew that you were a harsh master and that you reap where you did not sow. And I was afraid, and so I hid your talent in the ground, and here it is, freshly squeezed. The fear didn't drive him to inaction. It drove him to action, where he prevented by his actions blessing from coming to that talent. It's not at all different from Adam and Eve when they sinned. And what did they say? We knew that we were naked and we were afraid, so we hid ourselves. Fear is what makes us take an action to distance ourselves from God. So if perfect love casts out fear, was there something wrong with the perfect love in that equation? Did God's love change for Adam and Eve? What is perfect love? Well, if we go back a few verses in 1 John 4, it says, here is love, not that we loved, but that he loved us. So perfect love, as in John 3:16, is, for God so loved that he gave. The love wasn't an entity unto itself. It was something that drove him to give. Hereby, this is 1 John 3, hereby perceive we, this is how we understand the love of God, that he gave his only son for us. Our problem is, we think love, perfect love, is I love you and you love me and it's perfect. It's the same. But perfect love is when God gives his very best when I don't love him or I hate him or I have turned my back. Perfect love loves when there is zero reciprocation. That is what you are the benefactor of this morning. Perfect love. That even though you were dead in sin, incapable of reciprocating, God still gave his very best for you. He gave his only and his all to recover me. So while you hold this in your hand and you say thank you, it's not just to remember an event that occurred 1994 years ago, whatever. We are remembering a love that loved when we were unlovable and unloving. A God who said, I'm going to chase after you. I will not relent, even if you don't even recognize me or respond. That is perfect love. Jesus, thank you for demonstrating an amazing love beyond our comprehension in a way that boggles our mind. We're so humbled that the Creator, who fashioned us out of dust and breathed into us the breath of life, would chase after us after we turned our back. What an amazing God you are. What an amazing Father, full of love. Love that drove you to give. May we be absorbed, overwhelmed, flooded with that perfect love that chases out all fear. May we lay at your feet and rest in your completed work. May we allow you to fight your battles through us, to exercise your power, your love, through us. Teach us how to love like you love, to give like you give. You are such an amazing God. Thank you. We remember you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we are we all done with worship? Okay. Awesome. Done with the song portion of worship. Okay. Marita, welcome back.
Woo. Good morning. So good to be here, see all your faces. Thanks for coming out today. Doesn't it just feel good to worship together? Wow, wow. Thank you, team and team back there. They do an amazing job serving. So if you didn't notice or smell when you walked in, we are going to enjoy lunch together. We welcome you to stay, eat with us. And I want to encourage also, as you're getting your plate and you're looking through the tables, you know, I think especially Italians and that culture, it's not so much about the food, though it's amazing, but it's about the company, the conversation. And so I want to encourage you, don't go to your normal group of people that you always talk to. Say, Lord, who is it that maybe I don't know? Or maybe I haven't connected with in a long time, and go sit by somebody different. Hear what God's doing in their lives. I mean, if we're supposed to disciple nations, we have to have the courage to get out of our comfort zone and maybe go sit by somebody else. Everybody loves each other, right? Right. And you know, God's put us in this body together for a reason. So you don't know when you go sit by somebody and just start sharing life. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Love you guys. Monday night, adult volleyball here, 7 p.m. Wednesday, there's always food pantry, 4 to 5, and something brand new Wednesday nights. So new, I didn't even have it printed in the bulletin. So good. You want to say it or can I say it? Okay, I'll give you a chance in a minute. So there are two things Wednesday night, alternating weeks. So there's Valley Home Group, which is starting this Wednesday. Yes. How many of you live out in the valley? There's a lot. A lot. So it's going to be this week. It's going to be Steve and Rachel's house Wednesday night, 6:30. Contact them if you need more information. And then that will be the second and fourth. The first and third is something else exciting. I'll let Olivia.
Yeah. Come on. So there's three of us here, but Adia, our little redhead counterpart, is not here right now. But we're doing a Bible study for the youth. That's going to be the first and the third. And this next one we're doing is the 19th. We already did our first one last week, and it's going to be at Isaiah's house. And Adia is going to be the one teaching it. So just, yeah.
It's led by the teens. Isn't that awesome? Love it. Love it. And then Friday night is something else. Yeah, teen night. He's on it. 7 p.m. Okay, so something else. We love to worship, right? Okay, so I'm going to talk to you guys about a worship opportunity. Yeah, I'm going to borrow this too. Look at this. Yeah. Okay, little housekeeping. This is worship, guys. Just as much as what we enjoyed this morning. So we were blessed about a month ago. A little more. A school that uses our facility paid to have our auditorium and our foyer professionally cleaned, which was a huge blessing. And you know, we are very blessed to have this facility that the Lord has given us to worship together, to meet together, to do everything that we do. And we need to be good stewards of what He gives us. And so I want to encourage you, you know, there's nobody on paid staff that is paid to do the dishes and paid to pick up, you know? It's all of us. So I want to, and the janitor room is right down that hall. It's always unlocked, and you're not going to step on anybody's toes if you go in there and grab a paper towel. Or, you know, you notice the trash is full, and you pull out the trash, and you go get another liner, fill it up. You know what? I think the Heavenly Father's going, look at how they're worshiping. You know, and who was it, Jody, that sanded this morning? He was worshiping, you know, and blessing us in the process. And so please feel free to worship in that way. Yes, yes. And what the carpet cleaner said, if there's a spill, and be subtle about this, like don't interrupt, you know, what God's doing. But you can be subtle, you know. Step out, grab a paper towel, which I did this morning. And he said, just blot it up first, and then don't saturate, but on all this is back there for you guys to use. So just mist it, let it sit for a little bit, blot it up. Easy. Everybody can do it, right? And it's worship. So to prevent that, thank you, Phil, I'm using his. We would like you to use closed, sealed. Makes things a lot easier, okay? Yeah, yeah. So a few more things. We love art going on, and we want to protect our carpet from that. So right behind this speaker is a vinyl tablecloth. So anytime you want to do art on the floor, on easels, please just grab that, spread it down, protect, okay? Or when you're doing artwork on our tables, to prevent our tables from getting all full of markers and paint, we have lots of vinyl table covers in the kitchen. Help yourself. Help yourself. Cover the tables. Protect them. Let's be good stewards of what God has blessed us with, right? And it's worship. It's worship. If you walk in the kitchen, the stove's dirty, you're like, I have an opportunity to worship the Lord right here. Don't go, somebody should clean that stove. That somebody might be you. So I just want to encourage you in that this morning. Thank you so much. Love you guys.
Awesome. I think there was some more announcements. Like, Sandra, do you have an announcement? There was like 7 or 8 other people that wanted to announce something. And Steve, did you have something you wanted to say? See? Hey, Steve? See? You have something?
This is the team that's going to Kenya with us. We're leaving April 3rd. We're going to a community in Okalau, Kenya. We will be going into a school that just started in January. It's the Father's Delight Mission School. It's for 2-year-olds to second grade at this point, and then as the years go on, she'll add more grades. So we're going to go in. We'll have a VBS with the kids for 3 days, and then we'll spend some one-on-one time with the teachers for probably 3 more days together. So I want to show you a video, and in the beginning of the video is a short clip of her transporting these kids from one center to the other center, because she actually opened up 2 different centers, because most of the time in Kenya, they're all traveling by foot, unless they take a matatu, which they cost them. It's their taxi service is what it is. So she has to take the first through second graders to the other center. So this is just a small car. We've been in this car. It's a 4-door car, and I want you to count how many kids that she has in this car. Now, she's speaking Swahili to them. It keeps going. There's more. This is what we provided this year for them to start the school. They actually dug those latrines by hand, 20 feet down. 2 of them. These are the kids that we'll be going to see. So how many of you showered today, brushed your teeth, made coffee or tea with clean water? Okay? They depend on the rain for their water. Okay? So you saw in there those black tanks and the gutter system? That's what we want to do for the school, is to bless them by putting up a gutter system that will, and the tanks that will hold the water. So you saw us hauling the water there. That's what we used to shower with, to flush the toilet, brush our teeth. We did not drink that water. We bought water for to drinking. But that's what's important, is that for them to have clean water. Now, we did see some children there who did have some medical problems, and we think it's from drinking bad water. Okay, they had stuff that was in their eyes and stuff. So we're asking to raise funds for $2,000. We can make to build four tanks and the gutter system off four different buildings. Also in that, if we raise any more money above that, we would like to raise another $3,000 to help pay for the cost that the director, Joy Cura, incurred from the startup cost for the school. So we're asking you to bless these people with some clean water and to have a good school. You guys want to share anything else?
So I don't know if you were really paying attention to the inside of the buildings. Those were the school rooms. As a teacher, I'm very humbled by that, because we are blessed here with what we have to offer our children, whether you're a homeschool, private school, or public school family. You have those materials readily available to you, or the funds to at least be able to purchase them. We're, as part of the training that Sandra was talking about with the teachers, it's coming up with ideas, inexpensive ideas, of ways that we can help them be more creative in their craft. Teaching is always evolving. Student needs are always changing. Much different atmosphere over there, and I have no prior knowledge in it whatsoever. But we, like Sandra said, would love to go above and beyond. So God is an abundant God, and He can provide. And we would, in addition to like helping them with the water situation and with the startup fees, we would also like to bless the school with materials. Doesn't have to come from a financial standpoint. If you have flashcards at home, if you have posters, if you've got, there's a learning store out in Wasilla that has wonderful things. If you would like a list of items you could even purchase and donate to help, we would love to bless the children and the teachers by helping supply a classroom. A lot of kids are visual learners versus hearing, and so any aid that we can give them at helping reach those kids would greatly be appreciated as well.
Hi. So we're asking for soccer balls, tennis balls, and jump ropes for the schools because all they have to play with usually is like a tire and a stick. So it'd be pretty cool to see a lot of tennis balls and soccer balls for them. Oh, yeah, and we're asking for a little better quality soccer balls because the ones that we got last time, they didn't hold air. And smaller jump rope? Yeah, smaller jump ropes. Oh, and the bucket will be right out that door in the little divot thing in the foyer.
We'll deflate the soccer balls and blow them up when we get there.
Are you going to take 100 or are you going to take 100? Okay, that's why I'm wondering if you had a target.
That's a good point. Yeah. We haven't come up with a number for that. I didn't think about that. The bucket's full. I just wanted to share a quick testimony about this. Before we went last time, my boys helped us make, we made big bubble makers, and they are like two dowels, and you put like a string with a little nut on it, and you put it in a thing of bubbles, and you bring it up, and you make bubbles. And so we went over there with bubble making stuff, and when it was all gone, and these kids had never seen a bubble before in their lives, so they were like screaming and running, and I mean, they, until there was just foam, they were still playing with the foam that was left in the little bottom of the, anyway, so I asked Joy, I said, do you want us to put these, like, in the burn pile? Because they always burn all their garbage. There's no garbage bags. They just put it in waste baskets, and then they burn it out in the field. I was like, do you want their sticks, you know, string? What do you want to do? And she goes, are you kidding? Have you seen what our kids play with? I was like, they're going to play with these? And she's like, we don't have anything to play with. So, yes, leave these. So they don't have any bubbles to use them for. But I'm thinking, are we going to save their eyes? Or is anybody going to poke out their eyes? But the point is that she was like, no, we need whatever we can get our hands on for them to play with. So, and I don't know if you noticed, but the one picture of the school, the floor was kind of a orangish-red color, and they are drawing their numbers with chalk on the floor. So maybe even we can bring chalk with us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. What's the deadline? We'll leave in April 4th, so up to that point, I guess.
Thank you. Does anyone else? Does anyone else have an announcement? Yeah, take all the time you need.
This could be 20 seconds or less. The camp out, really quick. I'm going to be needing some volunteers, so if you think you have something you want to sow into the kids' ministry, please come and talk to me at the Share Dish. Also, the cost is $20 per student, so if you want to sow financially as well, hit me up with some cash. We'd love to take it from you. Thank you very much.
All right, you guys can all stand up, say hello to somebody around you, and I'll bring you back together here in a minute. Oh, kids, you're dismissed. Teenagers, dismissed. Go to your classes. Sorry about that.